Good afternoon. I almost said good morning, but it's not morning. It's 3:10 p.m. on December 11th. Yes, afternoon. I overslept this morning. It was almost 8 o'clock before I got out of bed. Before I knew it, I was embroiled in family activities, even before breakfast. And just now I'm realizing, thanks to John Hibden, who reminded me that I don't have a talking on my morning walk out today, that I've got stuff I need to get taken care of, and the family can hold its own for an hour or so. One of the things I've got to do is get this walk in. I need the exercise. I need to get out, and it's a beautiful afternoon, so I don't have a good excuse not to do it. The other thing is I've got to go to the grocery store, because if I don't, we won't have cat food to feed cats, and they get very upset if they don't have food. So, yeah, we'll be doing that. Yesterday was concert day for younger daughter who sings with the Greeley Children's Chorale. It was a very pleasant afternoon concert followed by an evening for dinner out, something we do very rarely as a group just because we're going 16 ways so often. So it was worked out. It was nice. And then unfortunately, or fortunately for me, I actually got a good night's sleep last night, but sacrificed the morning walk to the altar of family. Sorry. No, not really. Yeah, a little bit, because it would have been good to have this out and taken care of. As it is, I'm going to have to walk now, and then it'll be about 12 hours before I'm out here again, 14, something like that. Tomorrow's Monday. Got a full day of things to do tomorrow. Okay. Let's see. I got my new artwork. The new covers for Ravenwood came, at least the proof copies. I'm looking for the final draft copies so that I can upload them to the various places. I like the Tobbers a lot. I like them a great deal. I need to get the big version so that I can put the new ebook cover on. I'm sorry, the new paperback cover on the same time I put the new ebook cover up. Theoretically, they'll come out at the same time. Let's see, what else? There was something else I wanted to talk about today, something big. I can't remember what it was now. Maybe it'll come to me. Wow. A little bit of ice right there. It's 40 degrees, so the ice on the ground is covered with water, which makes it doubly slick. For the most part, the sidewalks have absorbed enough heat that they've melted any residual snow and ice off. So that's a good thing. What else? The Kindle Prime Library is still causing anxiety amongst self-pubs and indies. I'm not quite exactly sure why. I don't understand it. I really don't. The influx of free books. Like, books haven't been hugely available as free for a very long time. My sales rank has actually gone up. I've had, I think, 6 whole sale borrows of Ravenwood, which is, by the way, the only book that's in the program. Ryden has the say-so on the other titles, and Robin was not interested in playing along at home. So, Ravenwood is the only book that's in the program. And I frankly don't see the big deal. The idea that thousands of people, and there's about 30,000 titles in the book in there now, but a lot of them are multiple titled authors who put all their books up. a lot of the stuff that's in there is short story and novella length, which is kind of silly. The idea that we're putting them in there so that we can get some share of the pot is frankly a bit ludicrous. The amount of borrowers that I'm getting is, you know, compared to somebody like Deborah Geary, it's just not, you know, it's just not even the same realm. If I make a buck out of this, and that's a buck more than I would have expected, and it'd probably be a buck more than I would have gotten from straight sales alone. Now, are the people who are borrowing the book, does that represent a cannibalized sale? That is, somebody reading the book who wouldn't have bought it to begin with. And my basic idea on that is not necessarily. I mean, there may be some small fraction of people who wouldn't have, who would have bought the book if it weren't available as a prime borrow in the library. But the reality of that is that not all of them are. In fact, probably few of them are. And the idea that they find this book, and if they like this book, then they might read the sequel, which is coming out in January. Yeah, I have to finish that, don't I? Yikes. You know, it's all good. I can't understand the furor over it. Apparently David Goffin is upset that this is the beginning of a subscription model of book reading, and that people won't be able to sell books anymore. That instead, what will happen is that Kindle will start a subscription service that, for some small monthly fee, books enrolled in the library will be borrowed, and you'll have so many credits. A lot like Audible. Everybody remembers Audible.com, I think. The Audible book people, the audiobook people who provide a low monthly fee for, I think it's 3 credits a month. And that the books that get borrowed for that month or get downloaded for that month get a share of that monthly fee. I'm not sure I see the difference. In fact, I don't see any difference at all. The truth is how many people are involved in that in Audible. I mean, it's like Netflix. $7.95 a month. You get to rent, what, 3 movies? Stream as much TV as you want, whatever it is. I forget now. My wife has a monthly account for the TV, and that's it. We don't watch DVDs much anymore. There's not a lot of point. There's not a lot of time. So will it be the beginning of the end for print? It's like, I just can't see it. It's like this idea that Amazon is going to be a monopoly. A monopoly means nobody else can participate. A monopoly is like your electric company. You can't compete with the electric company in terms of offering electrical service to people, because it's a state-regulated utility. It's a de facto monopoly in most places. So even if I had a generator, the most I could do is pay my own bill down by pumping current into the grid and getting a credit on my electric bill that would be greater than the amount of electricity that I use. That's a monopoly. Somebody on one of the forums suggested that Home Depot was a monopoly. I'm staring at the back door of Lowe's, and there's 9 Ace hardware stores here in town. Before Home Depot, there was another lumber yard, but the number of lumber yards actually has gone up since Home Depot came to this town. The fact that they're both big box is not terribly significant. So I'm not exactly sure. Amazon is not monopoly until nobody else. Hello.
Yes.
Until nobody else can publish a book. I can publish a book whenever I want. I can put it out in Mobi, EPUB, PRC. I don't know. Can I get PRC? Maybe. But I can publish books that people can read on their Kindles. There's as long as sideloading is available for them to read them on their devices, as long as there's a device that's possible for people to read on, and the tablets pretty much take care of that. iPhones take care of that. It's no more a monopoly than iTunes is a monopoly on music. I don't get it. I don't see it. I don't understand why that logic can even exist, let alone be getting as much attention as it is. It just strikes me as silly. Yes, I would have a hard time selling as many books if I sold them only on my own site. There's no question about that. However, the reality is that that's not the marketplace that we're dealing with, and that marketplace is what is causing that obstacle to my, that barrier to my entry. Now, I do sell books on my website. I've got A Light in the Dark is there. I do not have Ravenwood there in ebook form. I don't have it in paperback either. Do I? Yeah, I think I do. Actually, I know I do because people have been ordering it signed. So, yeah, I do have it in paperback. So you can order it in paper for me, and I've got a few of the classic covers left. So, you know, it's not a monopoly as long as other people can get in the game. If other people can't compete effectively in the game, that doesn't make it not, that doesn't make it a monopoly. It just means you have to find a better way to get into the game. Now, with electricity, that's a flat monopoly because it's state control. You can't get in. Even if I wanted to, even if I had the money to accumulate the infrastructure necessary to play in that market, I can't get in because it's a state-regulated monopoly. Cable is the same way, but I can get into the cable business by using something other than cable for the last mile, and that's what the company called Wattwire. And there's half a dozen others of them that provide a radio link to that last mile of service. No, they're not competing. And yeah, in theory, the cable company has a monopoly on internet. But the truth is, the cable company doesn't have a monopoly on internet because the cable company and the phone company both provide last mile, as do these other services. Even satellite, Hughes Satellite. While it's not great service, it is service. People pick the service they like. People pick the service they can afford. The people who have problems are the people who have to deal with poverty, and that's a completely different issue. That's the same issue we have with education, by the way. This is why this sort of rings so hollowly in my ears. Education is monopoly. The reality of education is much more monopolistic than is Amazon. If you want to get a job, and you want to get a job in a larger company, one that has a human resources department, then you have to have a resume that has what the human resources department is looking for, and that means a college degree. In most cases, I'm not going to say all cases, but in most cases, that's a college degree, bachelor of some sort, as a minimum. If you want to teach college, you have to have a PhD if you want to teach graduate school. There are some people who have terminal degrees that are masters. For example, library science only has a master's of library science as a terminal degree. That's as high as you can go in library science. Um, But the reality is that, for example, to be a teacher in school, not only do I have to have the appropriate degree in, say, history, but I also have to have the appropriate number of credits in an education department that teaches the certification tools necessary for the state to accept my credentials in service. So, for example, because I have a PhD in educational technology, I actually have had more child psychology and more developmental psychology than is required by the state. But because I didn't take the course that was the undergraduate course geared for education, I didn't take that course, so I can't apply for a teaching license in the state of Colorado because I can't get a university to certify that I have the credentials necessary to be a teacher in the state of Colorado. In order to get those credits, it would cost almost as much as my doctorate degree and would take upwards of 2 years. And for what? I know it's not like I'm going to become a K-12 teacher. I'm not going to become secondary school teacher at this juncture. It's ridiculous. I'm going to be 60 next year. I'm not about to wait until I'm 62 to get into a classroom and teach kids. That ain't happening. I got books to write. I got stories to tell, and I'm not going to be doing it in a classroom. But that's a monopoly. I can't get in, even if I want to, unless I follow their rules, unless I play their game. I can't provide an alternate. Because Amazon is not a monopoly. As long as I can sell a book on my website, Amazon is not a monopoly. As long as we can all sell books on our websites and buy them and read them on our devices, Amazon is not a monopoly. They could be very powerful, and they are. I've referred to them as the 8-million-pound gorilla in the room, and they are, because they have the richest environment for people to discover and easily purchase reading material, stories, books, for lack of a better term. They've been the go-to place for books for years, with their warehousing and their rapid turnaround and processing of orders. They've been where I have bought books, paper, textbooks in particular, for years, just because it makes so much more sense to place the order with Amazon and then wait 3 days and the books are at my desk. I don't need to go to the store. I don't need to wait in line. I don't need to, I don't need to do anything other than know what I need, have a credit card that can cover it, and fill the order. That's it. So this isn't anything that's particularly new. The Prime Lending Library is just an interesting blip, I think. And now, assuming that everybody winds up having library access, what it means is that people who are borrowing a book a month aren't the people that I'm selling books to, really. If you're borrowing a book a month, then you're not the 3-book-a-week reader that I'm looking for, or even the 3-book-a-month reader that I'm looking for. These are the people who are the onesie-twosies. These are the people who will use the lending library to discover how easy it is to read. And they're also the people who will OD on free books, many of which aren't worth free, and will be in a position of that many people are now in terms of a backlash. There's certainly a backlash against free books. There's also a backlash against 99-cent books going these days. You know, 99-cent books are trash. Well, some of them are, some of them aren't. You can usually tell by the cover. You can usually tell by the product description whether or not it's going to be something you want to read. So, I don't know. It's all very curious. And I'm not sure why people are so upset, other than it's a change, and people don't do well with change. But one thing hasn't changed, and that's that I'm at the back gate, and tomorrow is another day.